On Friday, October 17th, 2014, Lori was waiting for a response to the message she had sent her daughter, Africa. But Africa had already left Chicago. In fact, she'd already left Illinois. She was 45 miles southeast in Indiana, living a life that she had never told her mom about. She'd gone to meet up with a man who she'd only spoken to online. Originally, she was going to meet him earlier in the day, but he'd pushed things back because he said he couldn't find a babysitter. Africa knew it was risky to meet strangers from the internet, and she wanted to be safe, so she let her friend Shamika know where she was and what she was doing, and then texted her at 5:13 when she met up with the man. Shamika was expecting another text from her when things wrapped up. But hours passed, and the second text never came. So Shamika texted Africa's phone to check in. After a delay, she got a response, but the message seemed strange. She didn't think it sounded like something Africa would write. Shamika started to worry that something was wrong, so she tried calling Africa, but she couldn't get through. Shamika kept calling over and over, but Africa wasn't picking up. So Shamika called another friend, Eduardo, and they drove out to investigate. They arrived at the address. It was a Motel 6 just off Interstate 94. Eduardo and Shamika found Africa's room and knocked on the door, but no one answered. So they got someone from the motel to let them in. They didn't see anyone inside the motel room, but the shower was running. They called out to whoever was there, but got no response. As they walked into the room, they saw the bed was at a strange angle. One of Africa's shoes, a platform stiletto, was lying on its side. They saw a shirt button on the floor, a broken fingernail, and a torn condom wrapper. They crept slowly toward the bathroom and knocked on the door, but again, there was no response. Maybe someone had just left the shower running. So they cracked the door open. Shamika screamed and ran out of the room. Africa Hardy was lying in the tub, the shower water beating down on her. There was a thin red bruise going all the way around her neck. Just above that ligature mark, detectives noticed that Africa had a tattoo. It was a Bible verse. It read, "No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper."
Detective Ford informed me that I'd probably hear some things about my child that I don't want to believe, but to know that it was true. She was an escort, prostituting, however you want to word it.
Yeah.
Definitely something you don't want to know about your 19-year-old beautiful child who could have had anything, done anything that she wanted to.
Detective Ford had learned that Africa was working as a call girl, and that was how Africa came into contact with the man she met at the motel. He was a client.
I can definitely 100% say that my children were not raised that way, but my children know struggle. And they know how to overcome struggle. And maybe at that time, Africa may have thought that was a way to overcome struggle. I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with the older female that she befriended. Shamika was 26 when she met my daughter. My daughter was 19. And I think she kind of trimmed and propped Africa. You know, the new girl on the block, she's beautiful, and we're going to make some money off of her. Still to this day, I don't know why she decided to do what she did. I don't know. I'll never get that answer.
Did you ever talk to that friend?
Yeah, so I did speak with her like one time. We were on the phone for about a good hour. And she mentioned that Africa thought, hey, it's fast money, quick money, easy money. That Africa wanted to come back to Denver. She wanted, you know, to help take care of her mom. So I'm going to assume that that's why, you know, it happened.
Yeah. you know, it's hard to put myself in your shoes, but I imagine that that's kind of confusing to hear, because in some ways it's like, you know, that's great thing. She wants to help you, but then it's also like hard because it's, you know, like kind of connects you to it or something like that.
Yeah,
Does that make sense?
exactly. Yeah, like I feel guilty. I mean, I feel guilty about the whole scenario, but the part that she wanted to help me, you know, since Africa was little, I guess she's always looked up to me. And I have little letters and notes that she write me, and she said, when I get famous, I'm not going to have to worry about anything anymore. And I think in her mind, you know, she thought that she really had to take care of me, because now that she was grown, it was her turn. You know, mother takes care of child, no child has to take care of mother. It was just something in her that she thought she wanted to do.
To me, that speaks to, you know, that you guys were close and that she wanted to help you.
Yeah.
When I've talked to people, lots of people talk about guilt, even in situations where it doesn't really make sense. I think that that is also sometimes just like part of losing someone you're very close to. You always kind of wonder.
Yeah. There's a lot of things I wonder about. Did she beg for him to stop? Did she beg him for her life? You know, like I wonder these things.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm wrong for wondering that. I just want to know what my daughter's last words were. When you first reached out to me, you said something about old wounds. This is not an old wound. This is a daily wound, you know, and you adjust to things, but it never goes away. It never, ever goes away.
I was telling my girlfriend that I was getting ready to do this interview, and her father passed away a year ago, and you know, very different situation, but she feels like other people get uncomfortable when she talks about it.
Yeah.
Like they don't want
Yeah.
her to feel bad, but she wants to talk about him.
Very true. Very true. Very, very, very true. People think that you're like completely broken and they don't want to say anything or mention anything. But in order for me to keep my daughter's voice going, I have to talk about it. Let me talk. If I have to cry, let me cry. If I want to laugh, let me laugh. The people are really like that. They're still like that with me today. So
Yeah.
it is what it is.
So before you were saying that you were like kind of curious about this, like you wanted to figure out a lot about what was going on after this happened.
Yeah, I still have some curiosities, and there's still some things that I think need to be done and could be done. Like, I get angry because he killed my daughter, and my daughter was found in a freaking hotel room, naked in a shower. Why? You know, I get angry at her. You know, why? I get angry at myself. Here's another thing. I wonder why this guy was left loose.
Because here's the crazy thing about Africa's case. While Africa's death was senseless and seemed utterly random, it wasn't random. It was part of a pattern. And years earlier, a man named Thomas Hargrove had tried to warn police. He said he had evidence that a serial killer was on the loose, strangling young women in the area. Women just like Africa Hardy. So who was Thomas Hargrove, and what was his evidence?
Unfortunately, Gary, Indiana is a good place to be a killer because you're probably going to get away with it.
Hey, this has been Kiebrick, host of Algorithm. Thanks for checking out this exclusive sneak peek from episode 1. Episode 1 and 2 are available on June 15th. You can search for Algorithm in your podcast app and subscribe now so you don't miss an episode. Listen to Algorithm for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows.